It's your boy Colby Mack, and this is the Colby Told Me Podcast. Yo, whenever I want to, and damn do I mean it, deep dive with the Mac himself, where I get to amplify my movie reviews for your listening pleasure. Would you please consider giving your boy a follow? I'm on all the socials at Colby Told Me on Twitter and Instagram, and sometimes, yes, sometimes I'm on Facebook at Colby Mack. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is episode 12. Like I mentioned before, there's an episode 10 out there somewhere, and I swear before God, I tried my best to get a holdover's review out, but something happened with my microphone cord. I don't know what it is about this Yeti mic. I had a mini USB cord that just went caca, and then I tried to get a replacement, and that didn't work because it couldn't fit. And you know how hard it is to try to find a mini USB cord in 2023? It's hard as a mother, but shout out to Amazon doing this thing pre-Thanksgiving to be able to get me what I need to get so I get this podcast to you guys. Like I said, this is episode 12, another Hunger Games review. Well, the first for your boy on this podcast, but I'm sure the first of many to come because I surprisingly like this film. We return to Pan Am! Insert not so iconic, but kind of sort of recognizable theme music. This is one of those franchises that kind of like, you know, Harry Potter and other stuff like that, that YA explosion from Twilight and stuff. This was a film that had a really unique period of time in the mid to late 2000s, you know, starring Jennifer Lawrence. And I was very much not a teenager, not an old adult. I was somewhere in the middle, and I appreciated those films for what they were. The Hunger Games, the Divergent series, the Maze Runner, YA, post-apocalyptic, we were here for it. And now we've returned. But is the same fervor for those stories return alongside of it? I was skeptical. Matter of fact, folks got in my ass on a Twitter Spaces a while ago when I found out that this movie was coming out. I said, yo, nobody cares about the Hunger Games like that. Now, I get it. I get it. The book franchise and the, you know, worldwide phenomenon that it was, I think that that's still there, but I felt like this, without Jennifer Lawrence and without just the kind of, like, everything post, you know, pandemic, I feel like the electricity of some of those franchises kind of lost its luster. Are you trying to tell me this is going to star Rachel Zegler from West Side Story? Y'all know how I feel about Rachel Zegler. My feelings have changed. The Hunger Games, a ballad of songbirds and snakes. It's about Coriolanus Snow, who mentors and develops feelings for the female District 12 tribute during the 10th annual Hunger Games. This is a prequel, guys. And for those out there that don't know the difference between a prequel and a sequel, this is a story that takes place before the overarching series that you've come to know and love. Now, goofy names aside, Coriolanus Snow, I swear, I can't imagine being an author and thinking to myself, like, yo, how can I, like, make this sound so ludicrous but actually kind of work? Because, like, on its face, it's a silly name. And they just say it so often in the movie, too. But it kind of works out for this world. And you know me, I want to be transported to a world the same way that people transport themselves in a book and they feel like they can escape everyday life. I want to get back to the kind of raw and kind of hopelessness that is this world of Pan Am. And it's a society that doesn't look too different than our own. And that can be either a good thing or a bad thing in a very sad state of affairs where we are in the world. But Francis Lawrence, who was the director of Catching Fire and of Mockingjay Part 1 and Part 2, brings it back to a world that is grim, yet is looking to look forward. You know, we got told about the civil war in Pan Am between the capital and the districts, and this is a little bit further removed from where the results of the winners of that war was. At the very beginning of this film, we have Coriolanus Snow and his cousin essentially wandering the streets of the capital looking for food. And of course, as the film is titled The Hunger Games, that's exactly what this story is about. Hunger. The hunger for food, the hunger for love, the hunger for power. And centering the story on Coriolanus Snow, I did not realize that this was a villain origin story. I thought that this was going to be about Lucy Gray, who Rachel Zegler portrays, but this is something so much more. Maybe I just, like, wasn't in tune with it, but I really liked what we got. I think this movie looks really good. there's a frame weight switch up that we have from like a regular resolution to IMAX cameras, and it really takes you into this world that it does something pretty unique. I think the camera work moves. I think the tone of this film, the color palette makes you feel dystopian and brings you back to the world that you're familiar with. The production design is really, really dope. And of course, the costumes, like, I don't know how much that this film is going to play in the awards conversation, but when it comes down to the costumes, it's really, really good. Yo, there's this one particular suit. It's like this very kind of androgynous hybrid thing where when you go to the Capitol University, particularly where we follow Coriolanus Snow at school studying about the Hunger Games, he's got like this kind of really, it's almost like I can't even say a soft magenta. It's a really unique red that's not all the way red, but has like a really little tinge of purple in it. And it looks dope. And it's got pants and like a little kilt. And I pulled that shit off so good, let me tell you. But I love the fact that Francis Lawrence is being able to bring us into a world, like I said, that feels familiar, but is doing something on its own. I can't remember distinctly too much of the imagery from Catching Fire and Mockingjay. I remember them like little vignettes and images. And I think if anything, this very much feels similar to it. And I like that. But it's still doing some things on its own. Remember, this Capitol is going to look different because it's in its infancy of being reborn from the rubble that some parts of it was reduced to during the war. Now, I'd love to tell you that as great as the direction was, the writing was similarly, but the writing left some things to be desired. Now, I can't speak for the book because I didn't read it. Y'all know that I don't like to read. I'll read the hell out of a screenplay, but when it comes to reading a book, give me the movie instead. But I rock with this. I think the themes that we're sitting on, how ugly the world is here, and how ugly it is being human in this kind of nihilistic sense was there. There's hope in the film in some respects, but if you understand what The Hunger Games is, and I love the question that this film sits on, and it's asked of Coriolanus Snow by Viola Davis's character. She's pretty much like, what is The Hunger Games? And we get to travel with this character to be able to sit on his initial response and how it changes with him after the events that happen in his life towards the end of the film. And I love that symmetry, the way that it bookends with that question. Now, while there's not much hope in this film, I like the fact that it's something where we have characters to kind of glob onto, and similarly like what we had with Katniss Everdeen, and that was the goal, but she was the protagonist of this film. So what hope can you champion when the protagonist of your film has such a dark end, but you kind of glob on to the humanity that he has and you want to see the way that he spirals away from the humanity that he loses? I don't know if that was convincing enough, but I love the fact that the actor took everything that he was given on the page and did his absolute best on screen. And it was really convincing. It worked for me. Now, all the elements of the screenplay are not the greatest. And of any elements of the entire filmmaking composition, the screenplay is the weakest, particularly in the first act. Like, it felt a bit contrived in some spots, and the structure of this film felt a little wonky. Like, it breaks it up into three parts. However, this film feels like two different movies. And this movie's 2.5 hours long. And somehow it feels too short to justify everything that it's trying to do inside of this film, yet I damn sure didn't want to stay for that much longer. And I actually like the second act way more than the first. And the first is the actual Hunger Games part. Yeah, there's a whole other movie that happens where the Hunger Games is already finished. And the ending of the movie, yeah, there's some stuff that happens between, you know, between Lucy Gray and between Snow that just didn't sit too well with me. And it felt like it was like a yada, 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 we got to end this movie type thing. And the editing definitely, it felt funky in parts. I can imagine that there's probably like a 4 to 5 hour cut of this movie. Do I have a desire to see it? Maybe out of curiosity, but like, it's been so long since we've been to this world. I thought that just based off of everything that you had, a lot of time, to be able to get it right. And to be honest with you, for the most part, this was a right movie. I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you like it wasn't. I really enjoyed this film. Hell, not that I never wanted to enjoy this film, but I had very low expectations coming into it. And I understand that for folks who are fans of the book, that this is a very different take on the character. But what I like most about the character is that there was a nice match between the writing of Coriolanus Snow and the performance by the actor that I was fully convinced that this was justifiable enough to be able to sit with the humanity that he has. Now, is there some contrast between what's in the book and what we end up getting on the on screen? Sure. But that's not my goal as an audience member or as a director in this instance to be able to sit here and match everything that's in the book. It's my adaptation. I do what I want. But I think enough of this character that was done, and I will warrant the work. And I thought that the film goes in some really interesting places, I was enamored. I was enamored with Lucy Gray. Why is this woman's first and middle name like her first? Like Lucy Gray is such a, like I've heard of, something Anne or, Mary Kate. Lucy Gray, you just can't say Lucy, you gotta say Lucy Gray. But it was cute. And I'm so surprised by how cute, not necessarily that Rachel Zegler was, but her character Lucy Gray was, because she was very grating at the beginning. I thought that her entrance at the district during the reaping ceremony was a little wrought, it was a little much, and damn, they're gonna get this woman to sing as much as she can, every chance as she can. I mean, the tree song, this song and that song, Rachel Zegler, if you like her singing voice, she's going to be singing all throughout this movie. Just get with it. And I think the score of the film is fun. I think the score of the film is unique. And I think it's something that definitely sets this apart from the other entries inside the franchise. And I can't believe it, but this is the first film that I actually like Rachel Zegler in. Did the country accent work for me? Not in the beginning, but it does kind of grow on you. It's a choice. I'd prefer just drop it. Like, I don't know how necessary and essential it was is to the character, but I'm not mad at it, Now, I will say this. I said that I did not believe that Rachel Zegler would be the right actress or movie star to be able to lead a franchise a la Jennifer Lawrence to kind of, take the baton. And I feel a little vindicated because technically she's not the protagonist of this movie, right? It's Coriolanus Snow. And technically, with some stuff that happens at the end of this movie, I don't know how much further along she's going to be play out with inside the franchise. But I'll reserve my full feelings depending upon how the second and third and any other subsequent films come about. But she was good. I think that she's still very much green. She's only done a few bit pieces of work and things of that nature, but I liked her. Did I love the chemistry between her and Tom Blythe, who played Coriolanus Snow? I thought it was I thought it was a bit contrived, a bit forced, but then again, got a good looking woman, got a good looking guy, you got to get them together. I think for those who want to see that love story, there was some nuance that I desired from the writing of those two characters that I really wish was a bit more ambiguous. It seemed a bit too straightforward how quickly that they connected. And there were some things that happened in the third act that I would have loved some mystery to, that I thought would have really played into the psychosis of what turns Coriolanus Snow to loosen his grip on his humanity. Now, I'll tell you this. There were some choices made by Rachel that I wish, as an actor, as a former acting coach, she's still acting. She's not reacting. So she's a little green, but I think with more films underneath her belt, she's bound to get better. Now, this guy, Tom Blythe, I like this guy. His voice, his presence, he's statuesque, he's slender, he's got these nice-ass eyes with that blonde-ass hair. He looks good. He's a leading man. I definitely think that he was cut from the right cloth to be able to take that baton from essentially one of the most hated characters in the entire YA post-apocalyptic genre, right, that we got. What's his daddy's name? I can't remember, but you know him. He died at the end of the movie. Sutherland, there we go. He's good. And I can see how he can start out in one way and end up as Donald Sutherland. And I really, really enjoyed it. There's a scene at the end of the movie that is definitely going to sell you on how convincing this start is to where he ends up being towards the end of the franchise. And yeah, the writing can fail in some instances, and I shouldn't say fail, but kind of like leave much to be desired because it feels like they knew where they wanted to start with Coriolanus. They knew that they wanted where they wanted to end with Coriolanus. It seems that there's some events that happen in between that don't seem to make the math work to get those two places by the same character, but I'm not totally mad at it. Like, for example, there's a bromance of sorts between Coriolanus Snow and Sejanus, right? And Sejanus is played by Josh Andres Herrera, who is actually really good. I love his voice, his presence. And honestly, that bromance, I think it works better as opposed to the romance between Lucy Gray and Coriolanus. And I think the way that they constantly are not necessarily pit against each other, but having to understand different sides of what this war did to the capital and to the districts, I would love to have that explored more with, and essentially a bit more at the center of what drives Coriolanus and all of his decisions. Because I think there's more that happens between he and that friendship that propels him to go to more of the Coriolanus Snow that we know from the previous films. And of course, we get some introductions to people that we weren't really familiar with before. We got Viola Davis, who's absolutely having a ball. She is like reveling in all of her treachery. She's hamming it up the best way that she can to be able to be fun and be this game maker and really affectatious. And she's got a crooked eye and she's doing these things with her mannerisms and she's having a great time. And I love that for her. Now, I would have loved that there was a bit more for Peter Dinklage, because you have this guy, and I'm actually rewatching. I'm rewatching Game of Thrones right now with my lady, and it's so fun to be able to go back to know what Peter Dinklage does with Tyrion Lannister. And I'm like, yo, this dude's about to be inside of a Hunger Games movie, and there's just not much for him to do. I'm sure that there's a cut out there somewhere that like makes more use of this man's talent, and should do the same of Hunter Schafer. She's very talented. I love her inside of the Hunger Games, and she's absolutely a fascinating presence on screen, but just not a lot to do. But if you're telling me that just those two characters, and I won't call them wasted, but just a little bit underutilized, if that's the worst part of what we get in this story, sign me up for movies 2, 3, and 4. And if it has way more of my man Jason Schwartzman a part of it, yo, talk about a baton toss between Jason Schwartzman and Stanley Tucci as Lucky Flickerman. Great casting choice. He's so much fun, gives one of my best lines a part of the film, and exactly the comedy that's needed to kind of help pace this film so it has a really good balance of the dark drama and the comedic kind of fun action scenes from The Hunger Games where kids are trying to kill each other. Exactly fun. But it is epic. You get the epic music. You have this epic tone. The action is really good. Watch this in Dolby. Hashtag Colby does Dolby. I'm telling you, it's worth it. Or see it in IMAX. I can only imagine how great that IMAX switch up and the resolution is to really bring you deeper with inside the story. You know, I mean, The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, like, it's the return to Pan Am that, like, I did not prepare for, nor did I think could have really lived up to my expectations. But I truly do believe that it's a villain origin story that's done right. It's got a great ensemble. I think it's matched with great direction that falls a little bit short from the writing, but there's enough things that's done with the music and the production design to not only remind you of like why hunger is at the center of the story and how it's used as a weapon in this world, but at its core, showing us the hunger for power, the hunger to be a victor. And Coriolanus Snow, justifiably to be like a really iconic movie villain. Colby told me rating for The Hunger Games, A Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is an 8 out of 10. This film is directed by Francis Lawrence. It is written by Michael Leslie and Michael Arndt, based on The Hunger Games novel by Suzanne Collins, starring Rachel Zegler, Tom Blythe, John Andre Rivera, Hunter Schafer, Jason Schwartzman, Peter Dinklage, and Viola Davis. And it is now playing in theaters everywhere. Well, that'll do it for this one. Can't wait to get you the next one. Until then, like, subscribe, comment, and share. We are eating this holiday season. I am stuffing my face with so many screenings and so many screeners. But for sure, I'm going back in time coming soon with a great war epic, or so it should have been, with Napoleon. And once again, it is coming soon. Thanks for rocking with me. And remember, when they ask you where you heard it from, tell them Colby told me. Peace.